CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
World is going on. Well, we want to have a good biblical worldview of the days that we live in. So if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 8888, it's toll free, 8888-ASK-CSN. And that'll get you to us, and look forward to talking to you today. Now, if you're in the Southern Idaho area, I'd like to invite you to the River Christian Fellowship this Sunday. I'm going to continue teaching on the comfort of God. When we look at John 14:1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Oh man, I'll tell you, there's so many things to let our hearts be troubled over in these days. But you know, God gives us peace that passes all understanding. Now that doesn't mean I'm going to be happy in all my things I'm in, but I know that God's going to see us through. And that's what I want to convey through God's word as we read the words of Jesus together. That's this Sunday, 10 o'clock. In person here at the River Christian Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. Just follow the signs of Shoshone Falls, and we're right there on the corner of Falls Avenue and the road to Shoshone Falls. And then also, if you're picking us up by radio or internet, anywhere in the world, 10:30 Mountain Time is when we're there, and so you can tune your radio dial in. And again, the comfort of God, so important in these days that we live in. Again, 8888-ASK-CSN. Joining me today, special guest, we have with us Brad Dacus from the Dacus Report, attorney at law representing people like you and me against unfair laws and regulations. And Brad, I'm always so glad to have you with us because I know so many of our listening audience have legal questions. They don't have enough money to ask an attorney. So, so glad you're with us today.
Oh, it's great to be on the program. Thank you.
Always a blessing to be with you. What do you think about Chuck Schumer yesterday saying that we deliberately appointed a progressive, which is left-leaning, you know, progressing away from the Constitution to communism. We deliberately appointed those judges, he said hundreds of them, where I thought we were supposed to have a neutral judges, not judges with a vendetta. But he actually said these judges, in fact, do have vendettas, and they, the Democrats, appointed them. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's very disappointing, extremely disappointing, because the fact is judges are supposed to be appointed based on their credibility, their character, not based on whether or not they are, you know, partisan or extreme. You know, the appointments of Donald Trump were appointments who all respected the Constitution. That was their priority. Not political activism, and yet it is disappointing to see that that's what Schumer was willing to admit that he did.
Yeah, I can't believe that somebody would come out and actually admit we appointed judges with a activist a platform. I'm shocked that they would actually even come out and admit it, but they did. And so understand. Now, another question I think a lot of people are wondering about. Is this attack on anyone or any business selling Teslas, anybody driving a Tesla? What's your thought on that? Because, you know, I'll tell you, Brad, as I watch the cars burn in Las Vegas and different cities around America, I hate to say it, but it looks like the beginning of a civil war. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's extremely barbaric that even politicians and others are plotting it, saying this is great to go and destroy private individuals' cars, private dealerships' cars, simply because they don't like the politics and the actions of the owner of the company and the head of the company, CEO. Many Americans own stock in Tesla. They rely on Tesla for transportation.
It's an American company. They build them here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an American company. So it's so ironic that those who saluted Tesla and pushed for tax incentives for people to be able to buy them and tax credits because they want to save Mother Earth support electric cars. Now they're turned against it, and now you think that Tesla is the big giant, you know, polluting enemy. It's just it shows the insanity, I think, frankly, of where we are as a nation, and the spiritual work that is taking place. This is illogical. This is something you wouldn't have seen 20 or 30 years ago, in my opinion.
Well, no, and you know, they're claiming to be the, you know, we're green, we're for all the eco, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, when they light a car on fire, the carbon, the pollution that's given off, isn't it weird that it really had nothing to do with being green? It was all political all along. And they were just masking it in this global warming, this global agenda of carbon-free, all this kind of stuff. Because if they really believed what they said, they wouldn't be lighting cars on fire that make all kinds of pollution. So really, I guess they're just hypocrites is what they, there's really no other way around it. And I think this is a very scary place for any nation to be. And I would say they're planning this big, I think it's March 29th to, I guess, destroy every Tesla they can find. I don't know what they're, I don't know who's giving them their marching orders, whether it's Soros or whoever it might be. But what is really amazing to me is, I don't know. I don't know what will happen if people who own Teslas or businesses begin to firebomb back. I mean, to me, like I said, I think society is so fragile that we just... I tell everybody everywhere, work for the night's coming when no one can work. And I really believe we just really need to be about our Father's business because it looks scary. And, you know, I was sharing, Brad, I don't know if you were, if the mic was turned on for you, but I'm sharing this Sunday about the comfort of God, let not your heart be troubled. And again,
yes,
out of John 14. And we understand that he takes the disciples from a temporary situation. He had just told them that he was going to depart from them. Peter just said, I'll never leave you, Lord. And Peter said, or Jesus said, before the chicken crow, the cock crows, you're going to deny you know me three times. And he said, but don't let your heart be troubled. Now, I think that's really amazing because he takes them from their obvious end time issue that they're all troubled about. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He moves them from the temporal into the eternal, where our ultimate destiny is. And that, I believe, brings about great peace in our hearts, knowing this ain't all there is. Now, if you're not a believer, if you haven't given your life to Christ, as a matter of fact, this is the best it gets. If you're a believer, this is the worst it gets, because Jesus said he goes to prepare a place for us. So important that is. And so, again, if you have a legal question you'd like to ask Brad, perhaps over vaccinations or planning, county, and zoning and those kinds of things, today's your day. And again, Brad is also very skilled in God's word. And so I always appreciate, Brad, that legal twist to God's word that you have. So look forward to answering some questions with you. Again, 8888, ask CSN. To the phones we go. We have Angel on the line, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hello, family. Yes, I believe you answered my question yesterday. So I went and looked at the verses after that, which was Mark 9, verse 1. And I understand. I think maybe you guys can clarify a little better.
Well, this is where Jesus said, and I'll just read it for everybody. It says, and he said to them, surely I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now, and other versions say, see the kingdom, see me coming in my glory. When we understand that, and I believe the reason why it's important is he's saying some of you standing here will not die till you see really who I am. And so then in verse 2 and 3, he takes the disciples up to a high mountain, and there in front of a couple of the disciples, he's transfigured before him. It says his garment shone brighter than the sun. He was in true character of who he really is, and that true godly magnificence of who Jesus Christ is. And Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, as both Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus at this transfiguration moment. So remembering when they translated the Bible, oftentimes the translators would put in like chapter 9, chapter 10, and the different verses. But that wasn't in the original manuscript. And so if you just read, again, I use the old 2020. 2020 vision is perfect vision, okay? But 2020, 20 verses before, 20 verses after, will always usually give you the context of the verse in question. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I agree to 100%. It's so important to understand the context, and that's one of the most practical ways of doing it. I love that 2020 rule. So I encourage people to do that, and it does provide a lot in the way of context. Also, another rule too is there any other corresponding scripture that agrees with that interpretation? If it doesn't align with the scripture clearly before and after in terms of that interpretation, and that interpretation is not supported in parallel with other scripture, then there's a good chance that's not the right interpretation.
So I hope that helps.
It does indeed. Maybe you guys have a moment to answer another question that's
sure.
related to that.
Sure. I'm an Angel. I'm so glad you called back, because yesterday we just ran out of time. How can we help?
Yeah. So, the transfiguration, some believe that that the possibility of the two saints who will come back who have never experienced death are going to be Elijah and Moses. And my assumption was a little different, but I hear others is Elijah and Moses. But from my understanding, Moses did experience death, and I would like to see you guys' response to that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't believe it's Moses. The reason why they think it's Moses, when we fast forward to the book of Revelation, the plagues that come upon the earth, and it talks about the two witnesses in the streets of Jerusalem, these two prophets, can smote the earth as often as they want with the plagues that they want. And they go, oh, look, it's the same plagues as Moses used. Therefore, it's got to be Moses. No, not at all. It's the same God and not the same Moses. Moses died and was buried, the Bible says. But there are two people in the Old Testament that did not die a natural death. Now, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. Enoch, who walked with God before the flood, was taken, and he did not experience death. The other was Elijah. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind like a fiery chariot. Now, I don't know what like a fiery chariot means, but it's something that caught him away. And we have two prophets from the Old Testament. Now, what's amazing about this, you have one prophet pre-flood and one prophet post-flood. Enoch pre, Elijah post. And we understand that the generation that God judged at the time of the flood was because of their unrighteousness. And we realize that during the tribulation period, the reason the judgments are falling on the earth is because of people's outright rejection of God. So right. I think it's interesting that God used somebody before a great judgment of God, and he used somebody after the great judgment of God in the next great judgment of the earth. And that's the tribulation period. Now, remember that it isn't just God dealing with the world in judgment. It's God dealing in that 70th week of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, 77s have been determined upon the nation of Israel. 69th year, Messiah will be cut off and the clock stopped. And there's a seven-year period of time in which God will deal with the nation of Israel. Now, again, Jesus said in Luke 21, Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Jerusalem is under Jewish control. When Jesus said that, it was under Roman control. And 800 years before that, it was always under either the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, of course, the Roman Empire. So when Jerusalem would come back under the Jews seemed to be an unbelievable prophecy. And then what even makes it more, a Roman general named Titus in 70 AD came in, leveled the city of Jerusalem, burned it with fire, and it laid in rubble for millennia. And then out of nowhere, the Bible says, who has ever heard of a nation being born in a day? Israel was. And in that May of 1948, when Israel was declared to be a nation, it happened just as the Bible said. But they only got half the city of Jerusalem. But in 1967, they got the other half of the Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. And I believe that Jerusalem now, under Jewish control, signals the end of the Gentiles' favorability. And God's going to turn back to the Jews that last final 7-year period of time, in which he selects 144,000 Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel, which it clearly outlines, so no cult can say, oh, those are our Bible teachers or those are our church members. It says they are Jews. It lists the tribes by name. It is not metaphorically speaking, and it says they are virgins. That's what the Bible says. So God uses the nation of Israel. The church is gone, I believe, in the rapture. You never find the church mentioned on this earth again until we come back with Christ at the very end of the tribulation after chapter 3 here on this earth. We're found in heaven. Chapter 5, we're singing that new song, who's redeemed us from every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation. Oh yeah, that's the church in heaven. But God uses the Jews during the... Now, you'll find saints during the tribulation. You'll find the elect during the tribulation. But you never find the church mentioned. And yet, when you go to the New Testament, you find the church from Acts on mentioned on almost every single page. Whether it's love one another, be kind to another. Me and my brethren, as we go to different communities to minister the gospel, you find the church integrated throughout the entirety of the New Testament, but yet curiously missing from Revelation chapter 6 on this earth, you don't find them mentioned. And again, until we come back to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, you did a great job discussing that. I just think it's great for us to recognize how God has not called us to believe something just out of blind faith. More than 2/3 of the scriptural prophecy, most I agree, have already been fulfilled and have been validated. And so when we see exciting things like this happen in scripture, whether it's Israel becoming a nation and taking over Jerusalem and the prophecy in Daniel and how this is all coming about. It's really incredible, and it should give us all a great degree of confidence and assurance that we really do not have to be anxious when we see these things coming to pass, because God has forewarned us, given us this notice, so that we can know the times that we're in and live all the more faithful as we approach those fulfillment of prophecy.
So I hope that answers it for you.
It does indeed. Thank you guys very much. You guys are always such a big help to the family.
Stay on the line, Angel. I'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, and also 101 Last Days Prophecies. Great to share with your friends. Again, 8888, ask CSN if you've got a question, especially for Brad Dacus, our attorney at law. Free advice today. Wow, how do you beat that? So if you know somebody that needs some legal advice, give us a call. 8888, ask CSN. To Mike we go, Houston, Texas. Hi and welcome.
Hi, guys. How's everything?
Good. How may we help?
Okay. I got involved with an investment company to obtain a business line of credit loan in which I had to give 10% down into an interest credit account. So I gave them $125,000. Expecting a $1.2 million loan, never got the money, and never got my money back, amongst other people also. So what happened was they filed bankruptcy. They tried to file for Chapter 11, but the courts found out there was fraud involved. So the courts moved it from Chapter 11 to Chapter 7 to liquidate all their assets to try to pay us back. In the event we don't get paid back, are we able to sue the individuals personally for their personal assets to try to recoup?
Well, first of all, Mike, I'm sorry to hear that you got ripped off that way. There's con artists everywhere, and we're sorry. Brad, again, this is your expertise.
Yeah, a couple points. First off, the general rule is if they're operating out of a company, an LLC, those are formed partly to do that, to protect an individual's assets should things go awry and they be sued. However, when you have can prove a showing of fraud, then you may have grounds for remedy when it's not just the company went south, but you had a an actual finding of fraud and even possibly criminal action. One interesting thing about Texas, because I used to live in Texas and I went to law school at the University of Texas in Austin, is that Texas is one of the most bankruptcy-friendly laws states in the country. So you want to take a clear look at that. It gives a lot of protection. One thing it uniquely protects is an individual's house. Some states will only give you so much portion for protection, up to $75,000 or $125,000, like in California. But I believe Texas still has complete protection of your homestead, along with your chickens, your horses, your pigs, and a number of other things that are on the book. So if you are going down Chapter 7, be sure and get good counsel to make sure that you're taking full advantage of the protection of your assets in this unfortunate matter.
Does that answer it for you?
The bankruptcy is going on in Florida, and the owner of the company lives in Illinois.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with Florida's bankruptcy laws. They're all unique in each state. Texas is probably the best in the country, but you can't just choose where you want to do bankruptcy. It's so most of the time. So you have to take a look at what's there in Florida. You probably need an attorney there in Florida who's a bankruptcy attorney to work with you on this. I highly recommend that moving forward. And and then also you might want to look into once again, what assets are in the company, probably zero at this point, but then also whether or not there was, impropriety that can be proven. Also, there may not be assets in the company right now, but sometimes you can claw backwards. If the money was recently transferred out, often laws allow you to go back several months say no, that transfer is invalid because you did that right before your company went under and right before legal action was taken. So if you want to make sure you get good counsel on that, I highly recommend that. Sorry, I can't help you more. It's not my expertise, but that's the best I could do.
I hope that helps.
Thank you very much. God bless.
God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. And again, stay on the line. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. Hope you pray that you can recover your money. Father, may you just send Mike some people that will help him. Lord, being ripped off is a terrible thing. He's been stolen from. And so we just ask you, God, that you would send good counsel to him in Jesus' name. Amen. Mike, our prayers are with you, and if we can help, please let us know. Let's go to Darian, I believe it is, in Georgia. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, how are you guys doing this evening?
Good. How can we help?
Yeah, so my question is, I wanted to know, what do you guys know about the Stars Lead Drop? So the Bible, as we know today, has 66 books. But then there's also an Ethiopian Bible that has between 81 and 88 books. I wanted to see what you guys know about that.
Well, a lot of them are the Apocrypha and all kinds of other crazy things. The Book of Giants, the Book of the Covenant, Baruch, the Ascension of Isaiah, the three books of Enoch, all this kind of weird stuff. The early church fathers recognized it as junk. That's why it was not canonized. It was junk then. It's junk now. when you look at some of the Maccabean ideas, or excuse me, the Apocrypha ideas on how to cast out demons, it's totally insane. No wonder it was left out. Now, there is probably some validity for the book of Maccabees, not biblically, but historically, but it's not what they would consider inspired writing. It may be historical, but not, you know, Brad, your thoughts.
Yeah, I really like that distinction because some things are just, you know, outright just, they don't parallel with history. They are just way out and they're, you know, totally contrary to scripture. There are other things, though, that can be helpful from a historical perspective. It's just important for us to keep it in that context and not to confuse it with the word of God and the holy scripture that God has given us that was so clearly recognized by the church. And the church wasn't, you know, flimsy about or arbitrary by any means. They were very, you know, very deductive in the whole process to make sure that what was adopted was credible and could be relied upon as the word of God.
Yeah, a lot of the books are simply unique to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, not recognized by anybody else. If that didn't answer it for you, stay in line. If it does, we'll send you out some books and DVDs. We're coming up on a break, and we'll have more coming up right after this. We'll be right back.
How do we change a nation? One heart at a time. The Ministry of Preborn shares heartbeats and hearts by loving women in crisis and leading them to Christ. When this mother came to a Preborn Network clinic, she was scared and not sure if she could afford another child.
It was just a scary time for us, having my daughter, how that would impact our lives. When I came here, it was just so amazing to come to an environment where someone would actually pray for me and guide me through my battles that I was facing during that time.
After receiving love, support, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, this mom chose life for her daughter. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true. People are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. Whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan that you're happy with, here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
Back to part two of Every Man Answer here on this Friday afternoon. Look forward to being again with you for about the next half hour as we answer some more questions about the Bible and things alike. So if you got a question again, give us a call. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call. You can be part of the program today. To the phones we go. We have Julia on the line in Twin Falls. Hi, welcome.
Hello, this is Julianne.
Hi, Julianne. How may we help?
Can you hear me? Okay. So my, just a second. Sorry. Sorry about that. I'm in the middle of working and it sounds like not working.
It sounds like the sounds of daily life. Okay. How can we help?
I'm so sorry. Okay. Yeah. I have a question for the lawyer. I'm hoping that maybe I can get
some sort of information on where to start. Right now, for the last maybe 5 years, my son had lost his, he signed over his guardianship to the adoptive, she's the mother of my grandson. He signed over the guardianship, and for the last 3 years now, he's been doing super good. He has part ownership in a house. He's had the same job for 2.5 years. So anyway, he's doing really good. And the reason he had signed over the guardianship, because him and his lady were doing really, really bad. And the grandma had made it completely clear that we could have all visitation. You know, everything's great, you know. I will never keep him from you. That has not been the case. She does not let us visit him like she said she would. Anyway, my son really has been trying to figure out how to get him back. We live in Idaho. She lives in California. He checked into several lawyers, and they're about like $300 an hour. And most of them don't work from state to state, at least that we've experienced. So what he's in the predicament that he's going to have to take time off of work to go to California, and maybe we don't even know where to go. You know, we don't know where to start with something like that, because all he did was sign over the guardianship, but it wasn't, he didn't lose him through CPS or anything. So we're just hoping for some sort of a, like, where do we go? What do we
Okay, do we Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is family law, and it looks like you've got some different facts playing out here with the states, and then she's in California, you said, right, the grandma?
Yes.
Okay, and have you had any visitation with the children during these 3 years?
It's just one child, and yeah, we fly him over, but she won't even let us go pick him up in a car anymore because she says it's too traumatic for him. He's just, well, I don't know. Hey, I
okay,
don't
so, you maintain visitation. I was going to say, because one factor right off the bat is if you neglect visitation, depending on the state, there's often an implied waiver of rights there. But you really need a family law attorney, and I encourage you to maybe go to our website and click on, you know, request help and attorneys. You know, they're private, this is private law attorneys deal with family law. It's not what we do at PGI, so it won't be free, but you can at least have access to some attorneys who are you know, Christian, and it could give you probably a straight answer. It's pretty clear to that family law, and that's what I would do. I don't dare go beyond what I've said, because I'm not an expert in family law. Our website is pji.org, pji.org.
And if you go there, sure, You'll be able to get some good advice on perhaps some good attorneys that will help you, and also the issue of it being a California-Idaho issue as well. So right, Hope that helps.
That does help. Thank you so much.
God bless you, and thank you so much for the call. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you've got a question for us. And Brad, very quickly, tell everybody just exactly what PJI does for not only individuals or also for organizations.
Oh, you bet. We have a network of attorneys all across the country, 36 offices coast to coast, and we defend religious freedom. Very broadly, parents' rights against the government, could be public school or social workers. We're also dealing with the sanctity of human life. And we take on lots of different kinds of cases under those three headings, all without charge. And we have over 270 cases right now, in fact, in active litigation. And if people would like to get information about their rights or inquire about our possibility of us assisting them or representing them without charge, I encourage them to go to our website, pji.org. pji.org.
And he'll be there to help you. So be sure to check that out. I think, again, you're going to be blessed. Julia, again, stay online. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. I think that'll help. With that, we'll go to Connie in Palmdale, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Yes, I just was sharing with my sister about a scripture that talks about death in heaven. Isaiah 65, verse 20, and Revelation 21, verse 4.
Okay.
I didn't get that.
I'm turning to it as we speak. Isaiah 65, 20. It says, no more shall an infant live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his years. For a child shall die at 100 years old. A sinner belongs to 100 years old. He will be accursed. Now, what that's talking about is because of the longevity of people during the millennial reign of Christ, those that make it through the tribulation period that did not take the mark, name, mark, or number on their hand or on their forehead, as they go into the millennial reign of Christ, they're going to have children. God's going to restore the earth back, kind of like it was in the Garden of Eden, from what we understand, and man's longevity will come back. Imagine being almost 1,000 years old again. You could actually pay your mortgage off of your house. Just a thought. But the point is that if someone dies at 100 years old, they're going to be considered a child, is what that's talking about there. Now, as far as the other verse that you had, the Revelation 21, what was your question about that one?
Well, because it kind of contradicted what Isaiah 65:20 was saying, so I didn't know where Isaiah fit in with that in Revelation, no more death. So you're saying that...
Okay, real quick. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. The former things have passed away. That is speaking of our eternal home in heaven. That is not the thousand-year reign of Christ. What you were looking at there in Isaiah 65 is the thousand-year reign of Christ. And there will be life, there will be death during the millennial reign of Christ. If an individual dies at 100 years old while Jesus is ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, they'll be considered a child. But when we go into the New Jerusalem, at the end of the thousand-year reign, after the great white throne judgment, everybody's name that's not found written in the book of life will be cast in the lake of fire that burns forever, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now, the Bible says there's a new Jerusalem, our eternal home. And when that comes down, there's no more crying, no more death, no more sorrow, no more aches, no more pains. Hallelujah. I hope that helps.
Yeah, it helps because I didn't see a reference for Isaiah 65:20. So I was kind of like, okay, let me go. I know where I need to go. Every man an answer all the time. Okay.
Well, I'm glad because, again, that there is such a difference there because this time on earth, the thousand-year reign of Christ, is going to be a time of utopia on earth. We're going to have perfect government, perfect food, perfect everything. And yet what's amazing is at the end of the thousand-year reign, people who have had to live righteously, Satan is loosed. On this earth, he goes out and deceives the nations. And the Bible says, as sand is on the seashore, so the rally of people against Jesus there in Jerusalem. With a word that is spoken, they're killed. Everybody will stand before God, give an account of their life. All those that died from the time of Adam and Eve, clear up till that moment, that died outside of faith. They will stand before the great white throne judgment and they'll be judged according to their works. Now, again, remember, just because a person dies today doesn't stop the evil that they set in motion while they've been on this earth. Think about people that started a cult. Maybe there was only a couple dozen. Now there's millions. Think about somebody that perpetrates and knows a lie like evolution. They know it's bogus, but they keep teaching it because it talks people out of God. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, you're right. And when we look at what's going in our public schools today, it's not just even just an evolution where God had nothing to do with it, because we see that all throughout our schooling. But it's also even darker instruction to confuse children. And I would say the spiritual warfare in our public schools in particular and our society today is at historic proportions. And we have so many battles against public schools because of that. Just a little side note.
So I hope that helps.
It does. I just have one more question. And I have a sister in the Lord who is a vegetarian, and I've been looking for some scripture to give her, but maybe you can explain this also. Isaiah 25:6-9, Matthew 8, and it says, on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meat and the finest of wines. Could you interpret that in, well, I know it's probably written in Hebrew, so could
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I believe it will be. In other words, there's, you know, we're going to still eat and everything. I don't believe it's alcoholic. God doesn't, you know, in our angelic bodies, we're not going to try to be getting a buzz on. So we want to look at the balance of the rest of Scripture. Jesus turning the water to wine. I believe that was alcoholic. In fact, even the guest said, you brought the best out for last. But
right.
That doesn't mean that God is condoning drinking. In fact, Proverbs 20 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and those that are deceived by it are not wine. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be not drunk with wine, we're in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So very clearly, when we look at all the verses concerning wine, alcohol, intoxicating drink, I think we can pretty much come to a conclusion that in those days, and especially in many countries, even to this day, the water's unfit to drink. And if there's not something in that water to kill the dysenteries that are in there, you're going to wish you did. But I believe, again, in a perfect environment. And something else you have to remember, this is really important. In the new heaven, there's no decay. Nothing gets old. Isn't that good news? No more wrinkles, no more pains, no more sorrow. That's what it says. Well, part of wine is decaying. That's where the bubbles come from. That's what's called fermentation. And so there's not going to be any fermentation in heaven. There's not going to be any bacteria in heaven. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, you know, we think of heaven, it's really unimaginable. It's beyond what we can really fully comprehend. I think God in his grace, though, wants us to understand, though, that it's really awesome. So when you see scriptures like this, I think it's just reminding us that heaven's going to be really awesome. It's going to be really great. But it's sort of like, you know, an adult trying to talk to a five-year-old about, you know, something that applies to adulthood, like, you know, a marriage or something. And the 5-year-old is not going to really be able to understand it. But the dad says, hey, it's going to be great. It's going to be like, you know, playing you know, sports or, you know, in other words, sometimes I think we need to understand God is trying to speak our language and give us grace to have just some appreciation for how awesome it's going to be and how we should put our hope in what's to come and not here on earth.
So, Connie, I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. I just had, she just asked a question about the best of meat because she's a vegetarian and she says, well, I don't believe that's what the scripture means by the best of meat. I think it's something else. So,
well, Jesus ate fish along the Sea of Galilee. So, you know, I mean, you know, now if a person doesn't want to eat meat, I don't have anything against that person. That doesn't mean they're a better Christian or a lesser Christian. That's just their personal choice. I got a little boy who loves chickens. He loves them. He's got a pet chicken and he would no more eat a McNugget than a man in the moon. But he has no problem eating a hot dog. So, you know, I think we just have to look at it kind of that way. But if a person doesn't want to eat meat, I don't think that's their personal decision. But it doesn't make you any more spiritual or less spiritual. Brad, any last words?
Yeah, that's right. We have freedom to be vegetarians or not be vegetarians. But it's real important, I think, that we don't grab onto that with religiosity which can be very divisive and unproductive as Christians.
Hope that helps, Connie.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, thank you so much, guys.
Connie, if you like, stay in line, and I'll send you out some books, DVDs. Great to share with your friends. With that, we'll go to Karen, Bremerton, Washington. Hi, and welcome.
Well, hi there.
Hi.
How many Hi. We well, there's been an issue that's been bugging me for a few years now. Okay, first of all, just to tell you where my father's placed. When he first started going on dating sites, he said that he talked to a lady, and she asked if he was born again, and he called that a deal breaker. So my mom passed away 3 years ago, February. And before it was even a year, he's on dating sites. And he met up with this gal who says she believes in God, but they both have completely wholesale rejected Jesus.
Oh.
And I was bold enough to say to my dad, you know, demons believe in God.
Right.
We thought, my husband and I, that for a while that he was getting closer. I mean, we'd pray in restaurants, but then he started making fun of me, doing like jazz hands with amen, amen. And I'm like, I'm not even going there, because I was so sick of being made fun of. So when it came down to my mom passing away, I wonder if I have any kind of recourse here. He had me sign documents for his pension, for his retirement, for his bank account, for everything. In like I was going to be the one getting this inheritance. Once Mom passed away, he ended up with her inheritance from her half-sister, which was a little over $1 million. Now all of a sudden he feels like he's the big cheese, and he doesn't need God, and he doesn't need us.
Okay.
I got this apology call from his financial counselor saying that they try to talk him out of it. My daughters try to talk him out of it, but he married a gal 15 years younger than me, with a son. So he has a whole new family. And he signed everything over to her because they got married.
Oh.
I talked to my dad and I said, it's such a big mistake. She was in jail for balking old men out of their money twice.
So this woman that married your dad, oh no. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I am so sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
about this. This is really tragic. Yet this happens over and over again. And that's one reason I just want to tell everyone out there listening to this to learn from this and to make sure that you have a trust prepared, not just a will, but a trust. And in that trust, you can protect that money to go to your children and not to, at least half the estate, to go to your children and not go to some young woman that your husband, you know, marries after you pass away. And I'm talking to women here. And it goes the same way, vice versa. It's real important to have a trust. And we have great trust attorneys that are wills, estates, trust attorneys on our website. I know one in California, Kovenbogger, and Kovenbogger is a great law firm. But there's others out there that everyone needs to get that done if they have any kind of assets at all. People say, oh, no, that won't happen. You know, he promised me. Well, you know, after the spouse dies and they remarry, things change. So this is a classic example, and unfortunately, it's all too common. I wish I could give you more assistance on that, but you really need to talk to an attorney. But it doesn't sound very hopeful based on what you just said.
Yeah, because of your signing those documents. Years ago, one of the first Christians that came out with modern contemporary Christian music, Larry Norman, he wrote a song called Be Careful What You Sign. I think that's some pretty good wisdom, especially in today's world. But if you call Brad's number. I think that they can direct you, Karen, to those that can really help you, okay?
Okay. I think I have no recourse because he did get married to that woman. But I don't care much about the money as much as I care about what I could give to my grandchildren and my children. I mean, he had the gall. My mom had her wishes. Pay off her house. Give some money to my two daughters and for the grandchildren's college. And my dad reneged at first, and then he goes, all right, I'll do that. So he did that, but when my daughter told me, before he gave this pittance of a check, he said, the only way I'm going to give this to you is if you pay for lunch. And wow. So they don't have anything to do with him either, because it's like, you know, narcissistic is a good word.
Well, his life changed when your mom died. And see, what I'm saying is people say all kinds of things in the heat of the moment and all these different things. And then when the channel changes, oh, wait, I'm not going to do anything I said. I want to do that. And what is sad is not only it appears that he's turned his back on all of you, but he's turned his back on God as well. And that's where the real issue is to get him to come back to Christ. That's the thing, because it sounds like now he's a full-on prodigal and needs to get right with God. So let's pray for him. Father, we lift him up before you. We just ask you that you would put people in his path that will point him back to you. God, that you convict his heart of his broken promises. And Lord, that you would extend, Lord, as only you can do, that comfort that comes from you. And so we ask you, God, that you would just touch Karen, touch her family, and bring her peace. Let her rest in you in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Karen, we'll be praying for you.
And thank you.
Well, God bless you. Stay online. We'll send you out some books and DVDs, maybe a little book called Time to Grow. You might even be able to get into your father's hands. Might touch his heart. Let's go to Rhea in Oak Point, Texas. Never heard of Oak Point. Hi and welcome.
Hi, Pastor Mike.
Hi, how may we help?
Yeah, I just have a quick question. When we give our tithes, should we give in gross income or net income? And then the other question too is it wrong to, for example, you want to have financial like blessings or how do you call that? Revival in your finances. And then you really want to trust the Lord. And then in your heart, like, Lord, I really want to trust you. So I want to give my income instead of net. I want it to be gross. Mm-hmm. Is it a wrong prayer?
No, dear. And I don't believe you can outgive God. I just don't. His hands are much bigger than ours. And we just honor him. And then God says, I'm going to honor you. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yes, I agree, and we shouldn't be legalistic about it in terms of, well, you know, let's calculate the exact percentage. When I was a boy, I would calculate the exact, you know, 10% in tithing down to the penny. God wants us to give out with the right heart out of joy, and it's a privilege to be able to give to his work and participate in furthering the eternal kingdom here on earth. And so I think that needs to be the heart and attitude. Of course, it should never be giving for the purpose of getting, you know, the health wealth doctrine. That's not supported with scripture. But it sounds like you've got a good attitude, and you can even also give in your trust as well, which is another vehicle to look at.
Amen. You cannot give God. That's one of the great things. Hope that answers it for you. Stay online, dear. You're welcome, and I'll send you some books and DVDs. And again, thank you so much for the call. And thank all of you for listening today. Thank you, Brad, for being on the program. And remember, Brad Dankus, pji.org for more information. Have a safe weekend.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.